Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and I want to read more passages than the one that we're going to consider, because it puts the main passage in its proper setting. Could any brother tell me what the name of the message was I gave last week, just as I thought? It was a visitation from God late in life. You say, well, if I ask, well, what did I read from? The same chapter and book that I'm reading from today. But remember, a visitation from God late in life, and that was to Anna. And I told you about Anna last week. The message today is a visitation from God early in life. And the message is about Mary. Keep these things in mind. Notice from last week concerning a visitation late in life. Look in chapter 2 for that just a moment. Chapter 2, verse 36. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she had been a widow even unto 84 years, who departed not from the temple, worshipping with fastings and supplications night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks to God, and spake of him, the Lord Jesus, to all them that were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. This woman was some 105 years of age. That's why the title last week was so appropriate, A Visitation from God Late in Life. If he visits you when you're 105, that is late in life. Now, in chapter 1, A Visitation from God Early in Life. And look at verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this might be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. And he goes on to tell these things. And then, having explained, look at verse 34. The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also that holy thing which shall be begotten of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, thy kinswoman, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her that was called barren. For no word from God shall be void of power. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now, look at verse 45. This is what Elizabeth, whom she's visiting, says concerning Mary. And blessed is she, that is Mary, that believed. For there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken to her from the Lord. Now, this is the passage we're considering today. Starting at verse 46. Have you ever heard of the Magnificat? This is the Magnificat. Just as when Simeon was visited, he spoke words, Now let thy servant depart, O Lord, in peace. Titles are given to these hymns and ascriptions of praise to God. So this is the Magnificat. Listen to it. Verse 46. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath looked upon the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is unto generations and generations of them that fear him. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He hath put down princes from their thrones, and hath exalted them of low degree. The hungry hath he filled with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath given help to Israel, his servant, that he might remember mercy, as he spake unto our fathers, toward Abraham and his seed forever. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, indeed we are thankful for the different seasons of the year. You are he who reminds us of these seasons. When it was a flood, you said, as long as the earth remaineth, you spoke of seed time and harvest. Our Father, you give us light and darkness. Our God, all the seasons of the years you tell us about. And you said to your servants, these are the appointed feasts, the appointed seasons of the year. And so, of course, we rejoice at this season of the year, because as we consider the day that we came into the world, should we not consider the day that thy Son came into the world? Some of us know for sure when we were born. Let us know that thy Son was born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod the king. And so we are thankful that there was a day that he was born. And this is the time of year that we remember his birth in a special way. We are thankful for every remembrance of thy Son. So help us, Father, as we consider him and all those things that cluster around the star, the preeminent one, at Christmas time. Help us, our God, to learn of him and of them. And having learned of him and them, let us see what you have heaven like for us. Let us know our need of thee. Empower him who speaks, prepare hearts who are listening, and we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as thou hast promised. And glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The message today is about a visitation from God early in life. I read you about the two visitations for this reason. Some visitations are late in life, some are early in life, which means that God does not always speak to his people in the same way, and he does not always visit them in a special way, in the same way, at the same time. So, God has different ways and different times to visit his people in a special way. It was so with Simeon and with Anna, and it is so with Mary. In the case of Simeon and Anna, they were old ones. He visited them late in life. With Mary, she was a young maiden, a virgin. He visited her in a special way early in life. Now let me ask you this. If God were going to give you a special visitation, would you want it to be late in life or early in life? Let us say, if you wanted to visit you at 105, you say, I do not know if I'll be around at that time. No, but late in life, 70, 80, 90, 110. Here I am, almost 70. Perhaps God is going to visit me in a special way when I attain 70. And so here is one, let us say, in her teens, a young virgin, Mary, who visits her early in life. And so, had you rather visit, have a visit from God at 105 or, say, 15 years of age? You say, why, when I'm 15 years of age? Well, that is commendable. Because if that is your wish, then if God visits you at an early age, it means you have a special responsibility to live for God from that early age for the rest of your life. And then you say, well, perhaps I do not want a visit from God that early in life. Keep that in mind. This is what I found about those who have a visitation from God late in life. Two reactions. A reaction of an old man and a reaction from an older woman. So just as God has different ways and times of visitation, so the reactions of those that are visited by God are different. I can understand Simeon's reaction, because I think that would be mine. Suppose you are 80 or 90 years of age, and finally, the culminating revelation of God in your life takes place. I think that I would do as Simeon did. I would say, now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. There's nothing more to see. There's no greater thing in life. The promised Messiah is here in thy arms. Now, O God, let thy servant depart in peace. Now that is beautiful. That is worth waiting an entire lifetime to have one glimpse of God's beloved Son, the Christ child. And so it is good if God visits you late in life. And this is the response of your heart. Think. When you do get older, you think of death more than when you were young. I venture to say that those that are in their teens or twenties, they seldom think seriously of death. That as you grow older, you think more about death because it is inevitable. It is appointed unto men once to die. And we're all going to die. Unless our Savior comes before that time of death. And so, we think of death. But now, here's an old man, let us say 80, 90 years of age, and of course, he thinks of death. But, before he dies, God shows him the embodiment of hope. And having seen that child, he is now filled with courage. He is filled with rejoicing. And he is filled with that strength that is necessary to face death. And he is not afraid anymore to leave this world and go into the next. That's worth waiting a lifetime for. Some people never arrive at that point in life. They say to God, not, I'm suffering. Let me die, not humiliation. Take my life away, O God. It's better for me to die than live. That, having lived for God, at the end of your life, with certainty, to know that there was a place in heaven for you, and you can say, now, Lord, I'm ready to go in peace. My eyes have seen the fulfillment of all your promises. Do you see the response? In the case of Simeon, when God visits him in his old age. Thank God. And I say, if I were 80 or 90, perhaps I would feel that way. But, this is a remarkable thing. Here is a woman, 105, you would think that she needed assistance to be brought into the temple. But we are told nothing about that. But here is a woman who is 105 years of age at least, and when she sees the Savior, she gives thanks to God, and she is rejuvenated, and with the remaining years of her life, she wants to go around and tell everybody she knows that has the same hope that she does about what she's seen and what she knows about God's Son, whom she just saw in the temple. Now that's a remarkable thing. Some are this way. They say, I've wasted my life. And having wasted my life, what does God want to do with me in these few feeble years I have left? All you have to do is to turn and look at the account of Anna. And you say, what does God want me to do? Why, He wants you in your old age to be doing what you should have been doing in your youth, which some have done in their youth. But we preach at times with greater conviction and with greater certainty, because I can remember as a very young Christian, having trusted Christ as Savior, I wondered, do I have eternal life? Will I ever perish? Can I endure to the end? I remember that just a few months after I was saved. And then I learned that I had everlasting life. I would never perish, neither would anyone pluck me out of God's hand. And I knew that, and I had made progress. And then when I saw others, I could not only tell them the way of salvation, but I could tell them that you have eternal life, and you will never perish if you trust Christ as Savior. And so I could preach the gospel, but I could preach it in a fullness and with a persuasion that I could not before. And so here is Anna, and she has been praising God in a certain way all her life. But now she can praise God with a fervency and with an assurance that she's never had before. You see, there's something that we know by faith. When Paul was on that ship, God had told him what was going to happen. He said, this ship is going to be destroyed. He said, I told you before you left, your ship had gone. I know that. He said, I know what's going to happen now. You see, he knew that by faith. And that the Messiah was going to come, that God's promised Son was going to come into the world. Every devout Israelite knew that, and they were looking for the Messiah. That, in faith, telling her companions in fellowship, let us set our heart and our hope that the Messiah will come, that we shall be living when He comes. Now, it is no longer a hope that the Messiah will come, no longer faith that He will come, but now her eyes have seen Him, and Simeon has seen Him and held Him in his arms, and it's no longer faith, but it's sight. And now, faith takes a leap forward. It's not that God is going to send His Son, but God has sent His Son. And this is the thought now, if they can comprehend it. The Lord Jesus had to tell them the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And even His disciples were not able to grasp the suffering Messiah. When He told it to them, it said, they could not understand His words. They were bewildered about it. But after He did suffer, and after He was raised from the dead, He opened all the scriptures and took them one by one and explained the ones that told about His sufferings and the glories that should follow. And then they knew. And before the 12 and then the 70 had gone and told about the Messiah, but now they're able to tell about Him with a fullness and an assurance that they never had before. And so here is this old woman, 105 years old, and you would think that when she came among her companions, that they would get up and let her sit down and help her to the seat, and here she comes in rejuvenated and says, the Messiah is come. and she thanks God, and she goes and tells him with fervency and with exuberance about God's promise that she's seen with her own eyes. I was in the temple, and I have seen him. Now, this is what we do when God visits us late in life. We thank God, and we say, Lord, I'm ready to go. If you call me home today, I'm ready to go. Because some, such as Hezekiah, set your house in order, thou shalt die and not live. Lord, no, not today. And you, Simeon, Simeon says, I'm ready to go. And Anna, Anna would say, Lord, I'm ready to go, but would you let me go and tell this one and that one? Their hearts will be thrilled the same way my heart was thrilled when I saw the Messiah. Let me go and speak to them. And so God says, yes, I will let you live long enough to tell all of your friends. And so think of ending your life that way. So often when we're old, our faith grows weak and our bodies and there is suffering, there is pain, and that's the way we end life. But then, even if it were that way, some of us at the end of our lives are like Jacob. You realize that God visited Jacob in a special way when he was over 100 years of age. When he visited Pharaoh, he was 100 years of age and more. And yet, when he thought all was gone, and he said, I will go down to the grave mourning for my son Joseph. And suddenly his brothers come home and say, you're not going to the grave mourning for Joseph. Joseph is alive. And so in his old age, this joy came. And so Jacob girded up his strength and he said, I'm going into Egypt and I'm going to see my son Joseph. And when he saw him, he said, I never thought I would see your face again, son. He said, and now I'm looking upon you and I'm looking upon your children as well. So take courage. It may be that if you say, I want to be visited by God early in life, well, I'll tell you about that. But if you say, I want to be visited by God late in life, then think of the courage to be ready to go and meet God today. And then at the same time, think of asking God to give you more time not to go back to Sodom the way that Lot and his wife would go back to Sodom. But God, give me a little more time to tell others of this glorious Savior that I've seen with my own eyes. A visitation from God late in life. And then, a visitation from God early in life. I say early in life, and I say late in life, but I want you to understand that these are special events, and the greatness of them will eclipse the other visitations that they have had from God. Do you think that this is the first time in the life of Simeon, in the life of Anna, that they had learned, that had revelations, that they had grown in grace from God? Of course not. It says this in Lamentations. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And so how many blessings do I get from God? I get blessings from God every day. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. But I do not get a visitation from God like looking upon the Christ child. And so I can tell you of daily visitations and blessings from God, but I hope that someday I will be able to tell you in heaven, you see, we were the ones that lived until Christ came. That would be something to talk about. And so this concerning the coming of Christ the first time, this was something to talk about. And that's why I say a visitation from God early in life and late in life. It is not that this is the first time God has ever come to. The first time that God comes to you of the greatest importance is when you are a lost sinner and you are born again. That's the first time. that even before then, God is drawing you. God is working upon you. It's the goodness of God leading you to repentance. They're visitations from God. But then, when you are saved, that's something that you never forget. March the 27th, 1946. That's when I trusted Christ as Savior. I will never forget it by God's grace. Never. That's when God visited me with salvation for the first time. And then I could tell you other high points in life when God visited. That I mentioned the visitation from God to Simeon and Anna and Mary as a special visitation, because I dare say that God never visited Mary again in this sense, that Mary, you are going to be the mother of the promised Messiah. You see, that's a special visitation from God. So, here we are. I told you what God expects of you if you have a visitation from Him late in life. And if you say, well, I want to be visited earlier in life, what would you do if God did visit you? If God did something special in your life, what response are you going to have? That's a sad thing. That there were some to whom Christ came. He came to that rich young ruler with this special visitation. He said, go, sell what you have, distribute to the poor. You have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. And he said, no. You see that visitation from the Son of God. And his life could have been one of infinite blessing. And eternity was included in it. And he said, no. And God keeps working in your lives. And God says, live for me. Sacrifice for me. And you say no. It does not mean that all who are visited by God respond to that visitation. This is what breaks my heart, and this is when I tell the people of God and exhort the people of God. So little response. It says concerning in Judges 5, the tribe. It said there were great resolutions of heart. Great resolutions of heart. And God said they came to absolutely nothing. And so there are times when God's Spirit warms your heart. And you say, yes. And it might last until this meeting is over. Or it might last until you eat dinner and then you forget it. Or it might last a day. But there's no consistency, except in Simeon and Anna and in Mary, who early in life was visited by God. And then she gave her life for the rest of her life to God. Now, that is what is ideal. And what are you going to tell God? You pray to Him, give this, give that. And if God does not, you say, what kind of God are you? I pray to you and I get no answer. What if God said, and I call to you and you do not answer? So look at your life. And you would blame God for not doing for you everything you want Him to do. And God says, well, what about you doing for me what I want you to do? Now, that is why I read briefly what Elizabeth said. When Zacharias was told that he, an old man, and his wife Elizabeth, it was past the time of women when she could have children, the angel came and said, you're going to have a son. And Zacharias said, how can this be? It's impossible. I don't believe that. And the angel said, because you do not believe it, you're going to be deaf and dumb until that time you are delivered, until you see it come to pass. And so that's what happened to Zacharias. That Zacharias' wife, Elizabeth, having heard what the angel Gabriel told to Mary, he said this concerning Mary, blessed is she that believed that there shall be a fulfillment of those spoken of her by God. You see the beauty of that? My husband, God spoke to him, he did not believe it. Right now, he's deaf and dumb. But Mary, you have believed it. And blessed is she that believed that there shall be a fulfillment of those things that were spoken by God. So these are some descriptions of Mary. Here is Mary. Mary is the virgin. And Mary is one who believes. And Mary is one who blesses God. And Mary is one who rejoices before God. This is what happens when an early visitation comes into her life. When it comes, she blesses God before it's fulfilled. Now, this is a thing of beauty. Here is Zacharias. He was told he was going to have a son. And because of his unbelief, he was deaf and dumb until John the Baptist was born. Here is Mary, and she is told that she is going to have a son, the promised Messiah. And she believes, and she magnifies the Lord, and her spirit rejoices. That is the difference. And so here is Mary, the virgin, the one who believes, the one who magnifies God, the one who rejoices in God. And when visitations come into our lives, when God says, you can do this, you can. You say, Lord, I'm not able to do this. Moses said that. Lord, I was an eloquent man before. I'm not an eloquent man now. God said, who makes a mouth? Who makes deaf and dumb? Moses said, I just can't do it. But the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through him who strengtheneth me. And so God visits us. And he expects us, if he says, as an old man, you are to perform this duty in life. And we say, Lord, I'm too old to do that. Do you not understand? With a man that God comes straight from God. And here is Mary. And what is so beautiful is Mary's submissiveness. When the angel told her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also that holy thing which shall be begotten of thee shall be called the Son of God. And Mary said, be it unto thy handmaid according to the word of God. That is submissiveness. What did she do? She gave her body to God at that time. Because Christ was not going to be brought into the world as Adam did out of the dust of the ground, but he was going to be born of the seed of the woman. He was going to be born into the world in the womb of the woman, and this woman was Mary. And the angel told her that. And she said, here is my body, be it unto me even as thou hast spoken. Is this not remarkable? Here it says in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Oh no, oh no. And here is Mary. And God says, I want your body. And Mary says, be it unto me, even as I was spoken. And think of the shame and misunderstanding and the ostracism, because even her husband said, my wife has been a fornicator. I'm going to put her away. I cannot endure marrying a woman who has been unfaithful. Her husband misunderstood her. And all the others who knew that they were not married until late, and then this child is born at that time, they would wonder about Mary and her child. And then the whole life long, there would be questions, there would be reproach of man heaped upon her, but at the same time, it was the glory of God that was heaped upon her. And she said, that's worth more to me than anything else. And because of that, she did what the Apostle Paul did concerning that same one. Listen. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1. He says, in nothing shall I be put to shame, but now, as always, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. And so, here is Paul who says, Christ is going to be magnified in my body. And here is Mary who says, God is going to be magnified in my body. And our bodies, you are not your own, you are bought with a price. And yet here is Mary, and God says, this is what I want. And Mary says, be it unto me. She gives her body to God. And so often, the Lord, that means that my life is gone. It's not mine anymore. But that's the way it should be. That's what it says. You are not your own, you are bought with a price. And now, she understands that. And understand thou is. That Mary said, I'm a sinner. I need salvation. And in her Magnificat, she says, my soul hath rejoiced in God my Savior. She is a woman in Israel, but she is a sinful woman in Israel. And whereas Israel was waiting for the Messiah to come and redeem them, but at the same time save them, Mary said, here am I, and I rejoice in God my Savior. Because God's salvation is not only a deliverance from the sorrows of life and the sufferings of life, but deliverance from the sin and the power of sin in life. And Mary speaks of God as her Savior. And so now, think. Listen again. First of all, I got your body, God says. She says, be it unto me even as God has spoken. She gives her body to God. And listen to this. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. She gave God her body, her soul, and her spirit. What else is there to give to God? You say, fine. There's nothing else to give to God. And that's what God wants from you. Do you not know what the first and great commandment is? The first and great commandment is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy mind, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And that's what God wants of you. You say, everything he wanted of Mary, he wants of me. That is exactly what God wants. But you and I look at Mary, and we sing about her, and the child, and Joseph. We sing all these Christmas hymns. And then God says, well, instead of this time in thinking of what I am to give to you, think for a moment about what you in return are to give to me. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And then David says what he will give to God, and that is what Mary does. And so having given herself to God, she says, now I want to magnify God, and my spirit is rejoicing. Do you remember I told you of Paul, who when God said, this is what I want you to suffer for me, Paul, and Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wherefore I take pleasure in weaknesses and injuries and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. And so here is Mary, and for the glory of God, she says, I belong to you. Mary gave her body for all to God. Let us do so as well. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that there are some that you can set forth as examples in thy word. And our God, we pray that you shall shape us and make us consider how mediocre, how ungrateful, how little return we give to thee for all that thou dost give to us. Our Father, forgive. And let us think, we who are old, about Simeon, and rejoice and have courage about death and the life to come. And for those that are young, let them understand that their lives are not their own. Their lives and their all belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let them give those things to Christ accordingly. And while we think of all that you've given to us at this time of the year, let us also think of what we should give back to thee in return. Let us magnify the Lord, and let our spirits rejoice in God our Savior. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.